Good morning. Today's reading is John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Jesus appears to the disciples. On the evening of that first week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sides. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
Thank you, Beck. So Daphne's about to preach for us. Before she does, I'm just going to pray for her. Lord, we thank you for the Gospels. We thank you for those records of Jesus's words and actions and of the words and actions of his disciples. And as we reflect on those this morning, as we think more about who you are, Lord, would you open our hearts through what Daphne has to say this morning? Would you speak through her into our lives? In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be sharing this service with you, and it's a great privilege to be preaching today. Thank you to Phil for his prayer and introduction. I have many friends, old friends at St Andrews, but I'm sure some of you are still asking, who is this person? Who is Daphne Kitchen? Well, I hope I will get to know more of you when we can get back to gathering more easily as a church family. But meanwhile, we have a much more important question to ask this morning, a question that's been the theme of the whole sermon series through September and October. Who is Jesus? I think this is probably the most important question ever asked. And it's a question we all must answer. And our answer will have eternal significance and will make a difference to how we get through this particularly difficult time that we're all living in at the moment. Those of you who do know me will know that before moving to East Yorkshire in 1997, I lived in Knaresborough with my lovely husband, David, and our three children, James, John, and Hannah. And we worshipped here at St Andrews for many years. Hannah was a Brownie, and I remember one evening taking her to Brownies in the car and coming to the junction of Scriven Road and Boroughbridge Road. Now, it's a difficult junction. It's hard to see to the left as you're trying to turn right onto the main road. Hannah was in the front seat and she was bobbing about as seven-year-olds do. And I said, "Hannah, please sit still. I can't see." And she said, "It's all right, Mummy. I can see for you." And I said, "No, Hannah, I have to see for myself." And in our passage from John's Gospel this morning, Thomas needs to see for himself. Thomas is one of my favourite disciples, and he's had a bad press, I think. He's usually labelled Doubting Thomas, which always seems a bit unfair to me. When I think of Thomas, I think of him as a man of honesty, a man who asks direct questions. Do you remember the passage that Sally preached on a week or two ago when Jesus was comforting his disciples as he was preparing to leave them and go back to his Father? Jesus said, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." Well, Thomas, at this very important moment, asks a very important question. Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? If Thomas hadn't asked that question, we would never have had Jesus' absolutely clear, life-giving reply. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's all about having a personal relationship with Jesus, and that's available to everyone. Everyone can come to the Father through Jesus. So I'm grateful to Thomas for his questioning mind. Let's not only think of him as doubting. After all, the other disciples weren't too confident, were they, until Jesus appeared to them? On that first Easter evening, they were all together with the doors locked for fear of the hostile Jewish leaders. They had locked themselves in and they were afraid. And this was after Mary had been to them to tell them that she had seen the Lord. And it was after the two people who met Jesus on the road to Emmaus had rushed back to Jerusalem to tell them the wonderful news. Even though others told them that they had seen the Lord, still these disciples were confused and afraid and locked in. And it's understandable. They'd gone through a traumatic few days. Their world had been broken apart, and Jesus, their leader, had been tortured and cruelly executed. Nothing was as it should be, so it seemed. So I think we could say there was a bit of doubt amongst these disciples too, until, of course, Jesus came and he stood among them, bringing his resurrection peace, shalom, that total, deep down well-being that only his death and resurrection could achieve. That peace, which can be ours, whatever our circumstances, if we put our trust in Jesus. No wonder they were overjoyed when they saw him. They saw him for themselves. But as we know, Thomas wasn't with them when this happened. We don't know where he was or why he wasn't with them, but he missed that wonderful experience. It's a horrible feeling to be excluded, to sense that everyone else knows something that you don't, or has shared something special and life-changing and you haven't. Thomas wasn't there when his friends saw Jesus, and he wasn't going to take their word for it. He needed to see for himself. I know how Thomas felt, actually, to sense that other people knew something that he didn't. I had gone to church all my life. I'd gone to a church school, taught in Sunday school, done A-level scripture knowledge, as it was then called. I knew a lot about the things of God, and I loved the things of God. But I didn't understand what people like Cliff Richard meant when he said things like, "When I became a Christian." What did he mean? Surely he'd always been a Christian, like me. Well, I was in my 30s when a family health crisis started me asking questions about my faith, which didn't seem to translate from what I knew in my head to the experience I was having in my daily life. And I really needed to know that my faith was real. My daughter was desperately ill. The questions are good, as we know. I was given a little booklet called Journey into Life. I've got one here. And as I read it, my eyes were opened. The first page has lots of questions about what a Christian is. I was brought up in a Christian home. Well, that doesn't make you a Christian. My mother always went to church. That doesn't make you a Christian. I believe in doing good and helping others. Quite right. Most people do. But that doesn't mean you make you a Christian. I believe in God. Most people say this, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Many people think they're Christians, but rarely bother about Jesus Christ. As I read this booklet, I realized that I had to make a response to Jesus for myself. Going to church didn't do it. doing good things didn't do it. Having parents who brought me up well and took me to church didn't do it. As someone once said, God doesn't have any grandchildren. I had to see for myself. I had to turn round from living my own way and invite Jesus into my life and believe that he would come to live in me by his Holy Spirit. The most wonderful thing about Jesus is that he loves us and accepts us just as we are, and he will come through the locked doors of our hearts and lives if we want him to. Thomas wanted him to. He wanted what the others had. And I wanted him to, with all my heart. It was just that I hadn't known that I had to do that simple thing of inviting him to come and live in my life. There's a prayer in the back of that Journey into Life booklet, and I prayed that prayer with all the sincerity that I could. And all I can say is that my life changed from that day. I had a real sense of joy, and I knew that Jesus is alive and totally worthy of my trust and commitment. I started singing all sorts of hymns that I've known for years, especially there was one, "O Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end." And the one that was most influential, really, was one called "Lord Jesus Christ," which some of you will know. There's a verse with the line, "Into my life, your power breaks through, living Lord." And that's what happened. The life and power of the living Jesus broke into my life, and there was no way I could ever deny it. It was and is real. Now, everyone's different, I know that, but we all need that living relationship with Jesus. We need to be different because of his living presence in us. Jesus knows our needs, and if we'll allow him, he will meet them. He met Thomas's needs that day in every detail, and he'll meet ours, whatever they are, in a way that's just right for each one of us. So let's look at Thomas's response to Jesus when he does see for himself, because this is key to his well-being and to ours. Jesus came through the locked doors again. He stood among them again, and he shared his peace again. He showed his hands and side to Thomas and said, "Stop doubting and believe." Thomas saw the risen Lord with his own eyes, and he did what Jesus commanded. He stopped doubting and believed. Thomas answers our question, "Who is Jesus?" with absolute conviction. "My Lord and my God." This is the first time that anyone's directly called Jesus God in John's Gospel. Those first disciples were living in a time of great turmoil and danger, and the thing they needed more than anything else was the presence of Jesus. When they had seen the risen Lord for themselves, they believed, and then by believing, they were equipped by the Holy Spirit to continue the work that Jesus began. So what about us? We know quite a lot about being locked in, locked down now, don't we? We live in a world that seems to have gone crazy. Who could have believed a year ago what life would be like now? Nothing is as it should be, so it seems. There's uncertainty about jobs and finances, education, health, and personal freedoms, and it's gone on for so long that I think everyone is weary. And now it seems to be all gathering speed again. Restrictions on our choices and rules that seem to change every day. There are worrying situations all over the world. It can seem really frightening and overwhelming sometimes. But the wonderful truth is that the Jesus Christ who met Thomas that day is still the same. He never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. John wrote his gospel so that we might know this. Verse 31 says, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John started his gospel with the truth that Jesus is God. Chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, which is Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here in chapter 20, and this is what some scholars believe to be the end, the original ending of the gospel, John brings us back to it again with Thomas's declaration that Jesus is God. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God, is our one constant, our one steady compass in this unfamiliar, shifting landscape that we find ourselves in. And if we are to navigate our way through the uncertain days and weeks and months that lie ahead, we need to know who Jesus is and to trust him for our direction and security. We need to know that he's with us. Whether we've been Christians for years and years, or whether we've never taken that step of inviting Jesus into our lives, today's passage, with its eternally significant question, is so important for us. Who is Jesus? If you're not sure, then maybe today is the day to take a step of faith and find out. And if we are sure, and like Thomas can answer, my Lord and my God, then let's grasp hold of that afresh and receive again into our lives all the benefits of what Jesus has done for us. We may be weary, but he can give us his strength. We may be worried, but he can give us his peace. We may be lonely, but he promises us his presence. All the resources of heaven are available to us to equip us for every situation and assure us of the bigger picture of life in his name, both now and eternally. So let's ask for a fresh infilling of his Holy Spirit today. We can face all challenges because he is with us and in us. Knowing who Jesus is makes all the difference. We need to answer that question. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our Lord, our God, our Saviour. Lord, we're all in different places today. We all have different needs today, and you know them. Please come through our locked doors and meet our needs. Holy Spirit of Jesus, come. Please come and minister to each one of us. And as we put our trust in you, either for the first time or afresh, please give us your peace and the assurance of life in your name to walk confidently into each new day with you, our guide and our friend, our Lord and our God. Amen.